Blog Talk Radio. Fred House Sports' cleanup hitters program. Fred House, Mike, coming to you here on October 20th from the Fred House Sports Radio Studios. And we're going to be talking for the next hour or so, a little bit more than that, about what's been going on in Major League Baseball this past week as we wind it down to Major League Baseball's Final Four. There you have it. And that's why I'm saying, well, this is one of the final remaining programs that we've got. We've got this week and we've got next week. Well, obviously, because there's no additional season left thereafter. So you want to make the most of it right now. That's what you want to do. You want to make the most of what we're bringing to you here this evening. And I'm going to try to get through this program this evening. I must tell you, the past couple of days have just been absolutely a couple of the worst days I have had in many months with allergies. It's been brutal the past couple of days, so I'm going to try to get through all of this. But consider for a moment. I want you to just think about this one for a moment as we're talking about. You know, this being the second to the last baseball program that you're going to hear for this season on the radio network. Consider for a moment that at max, what are we looking at between now and the end of, you know, when the World Series is concluded? Maximum, possibly 15 and a half, probably more like 15 and a third. Really less than that because we're into the eighth inning right now. Over in the ALCS. So 15 and a third games remaining maximum. And if it goes its max, we're going all the way to November 4th. Minimum 7 and a third games, which would take us through to October 31st, which is Halloween. So there you have it. Major League Baseball will be completely concluded anywhere between Halloween and November 4th. We're going to get into it all. We're going to talk a lot about what we have seen this past week. When we came to you last week at this time, we were still taking a look at the final games of the ALDS and the NLDS series. And now, right now, we have, as I pointed out, we're already into game four of the ALCS, which is ongoing right now. Kansas City Royals are in Toronto, and that will be followed in around at about 8 o'clock by Game 3 of the NLCS with the New York Mets in Chicago. So that's where we stand at the moment. Let me get in our panel. Let me do that, and then we'll run around and get everything up to date here. Let me get Nick in here. Go Cubs. I see that underneath your name there. I guess you're certainly giving away exactly where you're – you know, I was going to ask. I was going to ask everybody whether, in fact, they had that was going to be one of my topics here for this evening. You know, does anybody have a preference, really, in any of this? You're giving your preference away there, Nick. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. How are you?
I'm good. Preference for the NL. I can't stand the Mets. I don't care who comes out of the who comes out of champion as long as it's not the Mets.
Okay, I got you. I got you. I like the mindset there. It also provides a little bit of intrigue for our listeners out there because if I ask you who you would actually like to see win the whole World Series, well, it might change up. Let's get Caleb in. Caleb, we know, hates everybody right now in the National League. Caleb,
yeah, well.
Hey, we were busting your chop something royal last week. I don't know if you heard last week's show in archive. Oh man, I don't know. Did you? You may. I don't know. He may have heard it, which is why he's really quiet, Nick. I'm not sure.
I actually did not hear it. I actually didn't have a chance to go back. That's the one that I didn't actually listen to. So I might have to now.
Yeah, I think you're going to want to. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think it was other. I think it was our other Nick. I'm expecting our other Nick to join us as well. Nick S is supposed to join us. Yeah, I think our other Nick said something about the fact that he suspected that you had been you couldn't make the show last week because you were probably off crying in your Pittsburgh Penguins pillow.
Oh man.
Well, leave it to Nick. Yeah, leave it to Nick. Nobody's safe when Nick S decides to unload, as we well know from doing the fantasy show on Friday nights. But like I said, hopefully we'll have Nick S jump in here with us shortly, and we'll get his thoughts on a couple of things. I was also hoping that perhaps maybe we might be able to get Billy Brost in with us, it being one of our final shows of this season anyhow. And we've had Billy on before. Billy is the founder and editor-in-chief of Baseball Magazine. And boy, he's got some really neat stuff going on. Now, we're unfortunately not going to be able to get him. Excuse me, guys. We're unfortunately not going to be able to get him this evening because he and his family have been dealing with a bout of the flu going through the entire house. But he has promised us he will be here for our final show of the season next week. So we will have Billy Brost with us next week. But they've got a digital version. And if you guys get a chance, the link is in the outline that I sent over, and I'll send it again for next week's show. But take a look at that link because the digital version of Baseball Magazine is remarkable, how they recreated the old original publication from back in like the, I guess it would be the late 30s and early 40s. It's really, really, what a tremendous job Billy and his crew did over there. So, but we'll have Billy on with us starting up next week. Anyhow, let's do this. I will borrow Caleb one last time. I guess we're gonna get your sports machine going here.
Hold on there. Through the use of the sports machine.
There we go. And right now, the game four of the ALCS. Holy smokes, Kansas City's really pouring it. I mean, my goodness. Last night
was
a blowout.
Exploding.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night was a blowout on the other direction.
It was. So. Right now, I mean, the Royals are up 12-2, top eight, runner on first and second, and Eric Hosmer's up. So they might add on some extra runs here, but looks like the Blue Jays are going to go down into a very deep hole here. It's going to be very hard for them to try to crawl out of that hole, but it can be done. It's been done in the past, but... looks like the Royals are vying for another World Series bid.
Yeah, that's going to put that would put Kansas City at 3-1. Now, I forget exactly how the World Series will go, but I know in the League Championship Series, the format is 2-3-2. So Toronto will get Game 5 in Toronto tomorrow. So, listen. As you just pointed out, Caleb, it's not insurmountable. I mean, it should, yeah, all right. Losing today, that's going to hurt. That's going to put them at 3-1. But if they win tomorrow, Game 5, at home, all right, now it's 3-2. And what they have to do is they're going to have to win. They would be forced then to win the next two on the road in Kansas City. Not an easy task by any means. But like I said, at least we're not looking at. I kind of like the format. You know, I kind of like the 2-3-2 format as opposed to some of the other playoffs going the 2-2-1-1-1 format.
Yeah, so, and it's a little bit of a different format with the baseball thing. I mean, it's just a different feel to go 1-1-1. That's kind of pushing it. But I do prefer the 2-3-2 setup.
Yeah. Because I think it does give that – it gives that underdog team at least a bit of a fighting chance. So, you know, anyhow. So we'll see how that goes. But it certainly would appear at this point right now that Kansas City is probably – going to be in a commanding lead of that particular series going up 3-1.
I mean, the Blue Jays, their offense has been ridiculous, and they've scored a lot more than that in a couple of innings. So, I mean, they can do it. They could definitely come back here.
Yeah, this is not the only series that has surprised us so far. We've had a couple of these and a couple of wild card games for sure. So, it's been a tremendous playoff just from that particular standpoint. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I would have anticipated that Toronto would have won this series. That's kind of where I, just looking at Toronto on paper, I kind of thought Toronto, yeah, I know they were going to have to win one. They were going to have to win one in Kansas City, but I kind of thought, oh, yeah, Toronto will do that. Toronto will win one in Kansas City. If we go over real quick to the NLCS, the Mets are going into Chicago this evening. They're ahead in that series 2-0. And so now everything's going to shift to the emphasis being on Chicago. Chicago's now going to have a little bit of their backs against the wall, and we'll see how that one plays out as well. But let me ask the question, because as I pointed out to Nick there, let me throw the question out there. Does anybody have, obviously Nick said he's got a rooting interest in the National League, but does anybody have a rooting interest, even if it's, and obviously I don't think nobody has a real rooting interest, but because none of us are necessarily natives or have an affinity, I think, to any of these particular teams that are remaining in the playoffs. But does anybody have a modest, hey, I really like to see so-and-so win the whole thing now that we're about halfway, or almost halfway through the league championship series. And, we'll be looking at the World Series starting up, I guess, early part of next week. Caleb, with Pittsburgh now out of it, I mean, you know, I'm halfway joking. I can't imagine you're rooting for really anybody in the National League. You're certainly not rooting for
Cup. No, I'm rooting for nobody to win. I don't want anyone to win it. I don't want, I mean, I wouldn't be as upset if, you know, the Royals or the Blue Jays won it. I actually wouldn't be so upset, I guess, if the Mets had won it. I wouldn't like that, but I wouldn't be like so upset now, man. The Cubs, no way, Jose. They are not. No. although it would be great to see them make it to the World Series and lose in Game 7 on a walk off by the Royals or the Blue Jays. That would be beautiful. I would love to see that. But I would just rather not even have them get there so they don't even have a shot at it, like even winning it.
See, I got to tell you something. If they do that, we're going to have to be forced to come back and do one final wrap-up show, Caleb, just so that we can get your reaction. We'd have to do one more. See, because we're saying next week would be the final show, which will be the 27th. We would have to come back then on probably like November 3rd, and we would have to do one more. And even then, well, that wouldn't be the final show, right? because we said if this went to seven games in the World Series, that goes to November 4th. So we'd have to do a show. We'd have to do a show the week after. We'd have to come back and do a show on November 10.
That's nuts. November 10th for baseball?
Just to get your reaction. Well, wait a minute. At that point, what? How many weeks are we away from winter meetings? We're not that far away from winter meetings at that point because they come up, in December. Yeah, they come up in December. So, Nick, jump in there. I mean, obviously, like you said, you're kind of rooting for the Cubs because you're kind of like me. I can't. I'll mention who I'm rooting for here in a moment, but I can't root for the Mets. But out of the American League, what's your thinking? And if it came down to one of the American League teams, I guess versus the Cubs, is there anybody you're necessarily pulling for at this point?
Yeah, I'm pulling whoever comes out of the American League. I'm pulling for. I'm a Phillies fan, so naturally I can't stand the Mets, so obviously I'm not rooting for them. The Cubs, I think it's cool, and if they win, I'm not necessarily going to be upset. Here's the thing. The only team that would win and cause me to be upset is the Mets. Everybody else, it's just, you know, that's cool, good for them. I'm cool with that. I just don't want the Mets to win. If the Cubs win, so be it, but I actually think this is pretty cool. If it extends to more than 107 years, that's cool. After the curse is over, it's like, okay, now what? You know, it's like, this is this fact that we love throwing out there. It's a running joke in baseball. And I want to be able to tell my kids that the Cubs haven't won in 137 years and blah, 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 blah. So I like the curse being not a Chicago native, not a Cubs fan. I think the curse is pretty cool. So if they lose, I'm not going to be upset. I'll probably be rooting for whoever comes out of the American League. I liked the Royals last year. Somewhere in the beginning of this season, or in the middle of the season, I decided I didn't like them. And now recently, I don't mind them again. I think the Blue Jays are really fun to watch. So the longer I get to see the Blue Jays play, the more games I get to see the Blue Jays play, the happier I'll be. There's not really a team I'm per se rooting for. Like I said, I'm just rooting against them. Anybody else that wins, it'll be fine with me. If the Blue Jays win, that's fine. If the Royals win, that's fine, as annoying as their fan base will be. If the Cubs win, that's fine, as upset as I'll be with the curse being over. I guess if I had to pick one team, I'd probably wind up on the Blue Jays, honestly.
Like I said, it's not a matter of necessarily, I guess, for any of us, really. It's not really a matter of us rooting for anybody, you know, because, like I said, none of us are necessarily natives of, say, one of the particular regions that one of these teams are coming from or was raised with them or anything like that. So, I mean, if you come up that – I find myself – here's how it goes with me. When you get down to the major events of the sports seasons, it doesn't seem to matter what it is. It could be the Stanley Cup playoffs, the World Series, a Super Bowl, the NBA championship, the NCAA final. If I've got somebody in there that's my own, great. If I don't, I usually generally kind of lean towards one or the other. And I'm not sure if I'm – I think most diehard sports fans are kind of like that. I think we all are. It's difficult to sit down and watch a game unless you can sit there and go, well, I'm kind of pulling for so-and-so. You know what I mean? So – I find myself rooting for the Cubs simply because of the severe underdog aspect of it all and the tremendous storyline that the whole Cubs experience here thing has been. You know, the 107-year drought and the back to the future thing and all of that. I just think it's kind of neat, and there's something. You know, it's not dissimilar from the fact that I had been pulling for the Royals last year and really had predicted that the Royals would be where they were. I predicted the Royals would be where they were last year. I had predicted that 2 years before. excuse me, on our Frat House Sports Show, I had said 2 years before that, that wait and see, guys, you know, to whoever was on the panel with me at that particular time, I had said, watch, the Kansas City Royals are going to be a team to be dealing with in 2014. And sure enough, they were. So, you know, I kind of felt vindicated in that respect. But with the Cubs thing, I find myself rooting and pulling for the Cubs just a bit. Just a bit. But let's take a look real quick at this Royals and Toronto series. And let me just – I'm a little slow on the uptake here, folks. Let me just pull up the – I just want to – because last night, like I said, was a big blowout. This series, I don't think, has kind of gone the way anybody really kind of anticipated that it would. And I think we have to go back to when? Last Friday? For the first one? Yes. Last Friday, game one, the Royals at home won that one 5-0. On Saturday, the Royals won it 6-3. And then we go to Monday, which was last night, and they won 11-8. Well, of course, I guess we could say that was a blowout on both sides. There really wasn't any defense at all. But one of the articles that I sent over to you guys earlier today in the outline, just when you think, although today might be destroying that philosophy, just when you think that you can't count out the Toronto Blue Jays or the Kansas City Royals, one team or the other seems to step up and surprise you. Now, I guess one would say, if you're a Toronto fan, well, they're not surprising us today. I don't know. What's your general overall thoughts, either one of you, I guess, on what you've seen from the first four games so far in this series? Caleb, what do you got? What do you think?
Yeah, it's really surprising, almost to me, a little bit, not too much. The Royals here are really putting up some high octane offensive numbers. They've done it in the past. You know, this season they had a little bit of a run where, you know, they put up crazy offensive numbers, but, you know, they weren't really a team that you looked at and said, oh, they put up 5, 6, 7 runs a game. And especially not 12, 13 runs. You just didn't look at them and see that. So that's a big surprise to me. And another thing that I actually am not as shocked as, but I mean, I've heard a lot of this, is where did the Blue Jays offense wind up? What happened? You know, for me, I wasn't as shocked because I just had a feeling that their offense was going to do absolutely nothing. That they were going to get some runs, but offense never, well, I shouldn't say never, it rarely wins you a championship. Always, always, always is
yep.
your pitching. That's what always wins you. I don't care what you say. You can make an argument for the offense, all this stuff, but pitching wins you championships. It's been shown in the past. It just has. It's just fact. It just is. And so I think that, you know, the Royals, while they don't have as dominant a pitching rotation as they did last season, you know, the bullpen is not as dominant as it was last season. If you mixed last year's bullpen with this year's Royals roster, which the majority of those guys are the same, but they've had some injuries here and there, which kind of shaken some things up. So if they were all healthy, I think that the Royals, that this would be the final fourth game and they would have already won the series right now and they would be moving on. And I don't think that we would be really even really talking about, oh, the Cubs, they could beat the Royals, because I don't think that they could. And I still don't think that the Cubs can really go to Kansas City and win. I just don't. And especially now that Jake Arrieta has shown that he's human. So it's going to be an interesting thing to really see. And really fast, I just would like to say, this really shows that the one-game wild card is probably one of the most unfair things ever, because Jake Arrieta could have a monster game like he did, and then have two games in a row where he gives up four and, I believe, six runs. I believe that's correct. So it just goes to show that's another fact, another thing to really back up my thing that the wild card should be three games and just shorten the season by a week. Put some extra doubleheaders in there. Cut out some games. I don't care what you do, Major League Baseball, but just cut out the regular season a little bit by just a week.
Yeah, we kind of got into it a little bit last week again. You know, and I don't think anybody, you know, we've talked about it now numerous times, this whole issue with the, you know, the one game playing. Excuse me. I think the consensus on the panel from last week was, well, it is what it is. I'm kind of with you, Caleb. I kind of feel that it should be extended. But, you know, I think generally both Knicks, I'm trying to remember where Sean came down on it, but I think both of them kind of, both Knicks anyhow, came down and said, well, look, it is what it is. Win your division. That's basically the way it comes down to it. Let me ask this, though, and Nick, let me get your thoughts on the Royals starting pitching in what we have seen so far, at least through the first three games. I don't have today's game. Today's game, obviously, is ongoing, and I don't have a box score on it yet. But do you find it interesting that in two out of three of the games, games two and game three, that the Royals starting pitching came up a bit short? And yet the Royals are dominating this series. I mean, Ventura got to, what, 5 1/3 innings, I think, in game two. And then Cueto, I think, was knocked out of game three in the second inning. Is any of this surprising and or potentially alarming? Is Nick there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure who you were directing the question to. Yeah, it is like my whole feeling about when it comes to pitching and Cueto and Arrieta and all of this is the playoffs are a different animal. They really are, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on anything specifically other than you're just facing better teams, but it's not like these pitchers haven't faced these teams ever or teams like this ever this season. It's a completely different animal. You've got guys like Arrieta, who was the most dominant pitcher in baseball in the second half of the season, and he, like Caleb said, let up, what did he say, it was 6 4 runs. You've got guys like Cueto getting knocked out early. R.A. Dickey lasted an inning and 2/3 in today's game. But then you've got guys like John Lester, who will pitch great in the postseason. He was a good pitcher, but better postseason pitcher, better big game pitcher. You've got big game James Shields, which I don't understand where that nickname comes from, because he can't pitch in the postseason. David Price can't pitch in the postseason. Madison Bumgarner was obviously a great pitcher all year last year, but it wasn't until the postseason that people started to say he was the best pitcher in baseball. It's a different animal. When you get to October and when you get to the postseason, it is a completely different system. You've got to take it for what it is, and your ace may no longer be your ace. Noah Syndergaard could not pitch on the road in the regular season. Could not pitch on the road. Pitched on the road the other day. I forget which game it was that he pitched on the road. He looked fine.
The second game.
He looked absolutely fine. Then you've got guys like I can't come up with any more examples off the top of my head right this second. But there's next to zero correlation between pitching performance in the regular season and pitching performance in the postseason. I think really what's most important is not your starting pitchers, but your bullpen.
That's what it sounded like.
Your bullpen is
no doubt.
Really – you look back at every baseball champion, at least in my lifetime, and it might not be the best bullpen in baseball, but there is not a champion that I've seen that did not have a dominant bullpen. The closest example you could find is last year with the Giants, but they had Madison Bumgarner, who single-handedly won them a World Series. and also came out of the bullpen. The Phillies in 2008 had a dominant bullpen. The Red Sox had a dominant bullpen. The Giants with Sergio Romo and Brian Wilson, the Cardinals. You go all the way back. The Yankees in 2009 with Rivera. You need a great bullpen. I think the Royals have that, and it gives them the advantage. It's the same thing with the Mets. The Mets have great starting pitching, but what I keep saying, and I guess we haven't seen it yet, but I'd be shocked if we didn't at some point, is if you can knock your starters out early and get somebody in between Clippard and your starter, because they're going to go Clippard 8, Familia 9, if you can get to their bullpen at all, that's where you attack them. Because their bullpen is so weak. I've been saying all season long, I don't think their bullpen is good enough to win a World Series, and I'll stick to that, even though they're a couple wins away from representing the National League in the World Series. I think starting pitching is a complete crapshoot when it comes to the postseason. You don't know what you're getting from anyone. The regular season has nothing to do with it. And that makes the bullpen that much more important, because obviously it's still true that pitching wins championships. It's just what kind of pitching now wins championships. Maybe now instead of expecting Arrieta to go 8 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, you say, all right, can you get through 6? Because now we're moving to our bullpen. It's a completely different animal pitching is when you get to October.
You've answered the follow-up question that I had nicely enough. I mean, you wrapped it all up there. You put a big bow on it, because you went exactly where I thought you were going to go, and that was, yeah, this is a little bit odd to see. Well, maybe not a little bit odd at all, because I think what you're saying is there's been a pattern of it recently. That it's the back end. It's the back end pitching that is actually more required for a championship team at this point than the front end. And yet, you know, there's so much emphasis placed on, you know, having the 2 and 3 strong rotation guys, you know, that's what you hear from all the good teams. Let's go to, for a moment, if we were to follow that one out, then one can assume that the Royals would be, you know, we're seeing it right now, that it looks like they're going to have themselves a 3-1 lead in the in the league championship series. The Royals, in fact, would be favored to win going forward from this point forward, just because of the back end of the bullpen, right? Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think it is. I think absolutely a lot of what got them here.
Okay, now let's take a look at that. Let's apply that same model then to the National League, and if what you're saying here in the American League to be true is true then also over in the National League, well, would we say then that the Cubs should be the stronger team over there?
Yeah, I think they should be, for a lot of reasons, actually. It's not a hard and fast rule, obviously, but the Cubs absolutely have a better bullpen. I think they're an overall better team. I don't know if I've said this already. I'm actually shocked that the Mets have the Cubs where they do. But I'm not gonna go back and say anything that I said about the bullpen isn't true. But I think what you're seeing, especially if the Mets really close the series out, is just an exception. It's just an exception. The Mets bullpen, it stinks. It's terrible. Clippard's okay. You get the Familia, he's decent, but before that, I mean, Addison Reed and whoever else you want to throw out there, that bullpen's terrible. It's absolutely terrible, but because they have such strong starting pitchers, they're kind of able to counteract that, not in the fact that they make up for where they lack, but they're able to, every game out, get through 7 without having to use their weak bullpen arms. So I think it kind of has to be taken in context, but I think if we see the Mets come out of the National League, or even if we just look at it now, see the Mets are up 2-0, I think it's nothing more than just an exception to the bullpen rule, which we'll see from time and time again. But again, if they win the World Series, if they win the whole thing, I think that is more credible than to say they came out of the National League as an argument against the bullpen theory, because again, I'll go back, the closest thing we've seen, at least in my lifetime, to a World Series champion that did not have a dominant bullpen is last year's Giants. That's the closest thing we've seen, and the Mets would far surpass that, because I really don't think their bullpen is that great at all.
And you know, I guess what's interesting, and what's, I guess, kind of nice about this in some respects, is that while we already have 4 games down in the American League, we only have two games down right now in the National League. So we haven't really even begun to see, particularly with Chicago now changing the venue, and now we're shifting it over to Wrigley Field. You know, this whole thing could change starting tonight. So we're going to see game 3, 4, and 5 over the next three days in the National League. Now you're going to get a much better picture of, in fact, whether, in fact, that bullpen is going to have the kind of impact that Nick is actually talking about. Caleb, any thoughts on what we've been knocking around here with regard to starting lineups and bullpens and, you know, who has the stronger, who has the better in both the American League and the National?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely that any solid bullpen is what's going to win you a championship. That's why the Pirates, the Cardinals were so, they were looked on as sort of a favorite in a sense, because their bullpens were the top two in the majors. They were the best bullpens and they were the deepest. And, you know, I'm actually really surprised that the Cardinals didn't really pitch as well as they had all season. And so it looks almost like it's a different animal so far with what the Mets have. Now, the Mets, they do have their setup man and a closer that are two of the very, very, very best. But that's really about it. You know, they don't have that just pure depth of they could put anyone in there and they can shut anyone down. And that's something that somebody like the Royals have, you know. And my biggest thing all season long was I felt that the best three bullpens all season long were the Royals, the Cardinals, and the Pirates. And statistically, yes, it showed that those were the top three teams. And that's why I think that the Royals will be heavily, heavily favored, because – they can put runs up on the board like they're showing right now. They have 12 runs. They can show that they can put some big runs up there when they need to, but they can also shut the opponent down. They're shutting down the most highly powered offense in the majors right now in the Blue Jays. I mean, hands down, they have been the best offense the second half of this season. I mean, no one's come close. They've been ridiculous, and they've shut them down. And so that's the biggest thing, is that I just think that the Royals are going to have that edge, because while their starting rotation may not be where it should be and where you think it would be because of who they have, you know, the Johnny Cuetos, the Edison Volquezes, you know, you would think that they would be a lot more dominant. But even without them, they still have a better pitching rotation than Chicago does. The Mets, they have, I mean, arguably the best four-man rotation in all of the majors. I mean, they just do. But Nick hit it. You need a bullpen, you know. And last year's Giants was really the only team that I can even think of that didn't have an above-average bullpen. You know, the Giants just didn't have that. And so I think that Chicago's going to have a very difficult time if they can even win this. You know, they have to obviously first, you know, come out of this. But even with Chicago, their, you know, couple of good starters, their bullpen is better than the Mets, but nowhere near the Royals. And, you know, the Mets, if they win tonight, we can almost say that this series is over with. And the Mets just can't match up with what the Royals have. I'm sorry, but they just can't. They might be able to for 6-7 innings, but once you get to the 8th and the 9th, they're just not going to have those shutdown guys. They just won't.
You were answering a couple of the follow-up questions I was going to throw at you, and that was, you know, obviously you pointed out that you think that the Royals will be heavily favored And I was going to say to you, well, yeah, obviously you feel that way against the Cubs. Do you feel that way against the Mets? And I think what you're saying is you're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure I was accurate on that because my head's a little bit fogged here this evening. So trying to get through this here, folks. Oh, man alive. Let me do this for anybody that's out there that wants to jump in with us. Please don't hesitate. In fact, I would probably appreciate it because it could give me a couple of seconds off the microphone as I'm dealing with my allergen cold issues. I'm not sure what they are, but to reach us here at Frat House Sports, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. If you are on a computer and you are Skype capable, just hit the Skype button. It'll put you through to us loud and clear. Otherwise, you can jump in our chat room here, leave us a message in the BTR chat room, or you can hit me up over on Twitter, Frat House Mike, and I'll be sending out our show question here in a couple of moments, and when I do, I'll let everybody know what that question is. But that'll be going out over Twitter here shortly from my Twitter account at Frat House Mike. Real quick, I just thought I'd bring this up because I thought it was kind of a neat little bit of trivia sort of thing. Because I don't know whether anybody's you guys obviously you're quite a bit younger than myself, and you know, I was talking with somebody the other day, and I was bringing up 1980 Phils when the Phils won the World Series, and I made the mistake actually of saying that the Phils played in the World Series, that they played the Houston Astros. Well, that was a major mistake. They did not play the Houston Astros. They played the Kansas City Royals. They played the Houston Astros in the National League Championship Series because the Astros at that time were in the National League. And as soon as I said it and got off the air after I had said it, I said, I didn't even have to look it up. I said, what a fool I am. I made that mistake. But I found it interesting looking back over just a couple of interesting historical facts with regard to the final four that we've got remaining here. First of all, it's been exactly 30 years. It was 30 years ago at this time that the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals played in the American League Championship Series. They played in 1985. And in 1985, that was the first year that Major League Baseball had moved the championship series from 5 games to 7. So prior to that, the league championship series were 5 games. Toronto had a 3-1 lead in that, and they lost it. They lost that lead. And Kansas City ended up winning that series in 1985. Now, a lot has been made about the 1985, a lot has been made about the fact that the Chicago Cubs were, as some people like to say, prophesized to win the World Series in the Back to the Future movie. And I don't know if anybody realizes it, but what year did that movie come out? 1985. Just things that make you go, you know, I'm just bringing it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the last time that the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals played was in 1985. Toronto had a lead, a 3-1 lead, and they lost the lead. It was the first time that Major League Baseball had moved it to a 7-game series. And it was also the year that the movie came out, Back to the Future, which prophesized that the Chicago Cubs would win the World Series. So A lot of 1985 connections in that one, and I just thought it was kind of neat, and I thought I would bring it up for whatever it's worth as a little piece of useless trivia knowledge and information. And if anybody wants to make I don't know. Okay, let me ask this question. How about this one? Have either of you guys ever seen Back to the Future?
Yes, I have,
okay.
Of course.
Okay, you've seen it. Nick, have you seen it?
I have not. If you name any classic movie, there's a 98% chance I've never seen it. I promise you. It's unreal the number of movies that people just assume that everybody's always seen, and I've never even seen a scene of it.
Well, no,
I have
not.
A long list, pages long of movies that I need to see.
See, now I'm not. I see. Correct me. You know, I did not assume that you had seen it.
That wasn't like a dig at you or whatever. I'm just, it's just one of those movies that everybody knows of, and I know of, but I've never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I've never seen The Dark Knight Rises. I've never seen Animal House. I've never, like, you name, if you name a classic movie, I promise you there's a 98% chance that I've never seen it before.
Well, it's just, you know what? What's very, very amusing about all of that is that you're referring to some of those as classic movies. And, of course, in my era, those would not have been classic movies. But nonetheless, first of all, Animal House, I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. I've seen clips of it. I don't think I've ever seen the entire movie from beginning to end. So you don't have to feel bad about that one. And what's crazy is I use that one as an intro. I use a clip from that as an intro on my Saturday show. And I've never even seen the entire movie all the way through. A Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I don't think you're missing anything, but that's just my personal opinion. Back to the Future was actually kind of cute. That was a cute movie that was kind of fun. I actually would have assumed that neither of you guys would have seen it, so I'm actually kind of surprised that Caleb has seen it. But
I
don't know.
I love those older movies.
Thanks a lot there, Caleb. All those older movies.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
Oh, man alive. I was 24 years old when that movie came out. Let me do this one. I believe I got Richard. Let me just make sure I got Richard on the line here. From New York. I got Richard. So Richard's going to give us a Chicago Cubs perspective. Richard, we spoke the other day. You were a little nervous.
Let me get from my lotus position.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, let me rise from my lotus position because I'm in deep meditation.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you were really nervous the other day, and now your guys are down 0-2. We don't think you have any reason to be nervous, though, necessarily yet. But I guess that's easier for us to say than you, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to this game, but I'm looking forward. I'm going to watch it with like one eye closed, I think.
Well,
I mean,
like I said, I know the feeling. I know the feeling from having gone through this twice in my own lifetime, 1980 and then 2008. What do we got coming up here? Because I haven't looked ahead to see what the matchup is tonight. Here, hold on a moment. Let me.
It's DeGrom versus Kendricks.
Oh boy! Really?
DeGrom's great.
You're not kidding.
I mean, here's realistically, I think the Mets should win. From my heart, I think maybe the Cubs can, you know, manufacture a win, you know, create a rally, do something to throw this guy off his game, get into the bullpen, because the bullpen is the weakness of the Mets, the middle relief. If they can get into the seventh or eighth inning and get somebody up there, I think they can, you know, do some damage. But I don't know. They got to start hitting.
Well, one of the things that we had been talking about, and I'll get Nick to jump in here a little bit. on this one as well, because we were just talking about bullpens. We were mentioning how, you know, look, it's been a strength for the Royals, obviously, because through two of the four games that the Royals have played already, their starters didn't go very far. Ventura only went 5 1/3. Cueto, of course, was knocked out the other night after only two innings. But it's been the Royals bullpen. And Nick, go ahead, repeat for Richard what you said, that you kind of feel that, hey, when it comes right down to it, it would seem the Cubs have got the slightly stronger bullpen on this one.
Yeah, between the Cubs and the Mets, they absolutely have the stronger bullpen. I think most teams in the league have a stronger bullpen than the Mets, honestly. But the Cubs absolutely have the advantage there. And if that's what we're going to base the argument off of, it's not only shocking that they're down 2-0, but it'd be more shocking for them if they lose this series. I still don't understand how the Mets are where they are. Like, it boggles my mind that they're right now most probable to represent the National League in the World Series. This is the Mets. They weren't even in contention for the division this year. And even after we realized they were going to be in contention for the division this year, I didn't think they were this good. First of all, let's also give some credit to Daniel Murphy, who decided over the last 2.5 weeks to become the best player in the history of baseball. But back to the bullpen. If this whole bullpen theory is true, that's something the Cubs should be able to hang their hat on. And I don't know how much we can push that now that they're already down 2-0 and we've seen the way the series has kind of unfolded so far. But we know that a bullpen is absolutely crucial when it comes to postseason baseball. And we also know that the Cubs undoubtedly have the advantage when it comes to the bullpen.
I agree. Let's just get to the bullpen. Let's get to the Mets bullpen.
Knock them out early, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mike, this is what I think. I think that if the Cubs lose tonight, it's not over, because the Cubs will win the next two games and send it back to Shea down 3-2. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, it could go the other way too, though, Richard. You could the Cubs have got themselves. There's no doubt about it. They got themselves a tough road to hoe tonight, going up against Jake DeGrom. But if they can get past DeGrom and they win tonight and win the next two, well, now you're going to go back to Shea up 3-2.
Well, that would be great.
Now I think all of the momentum switches over to Chicago at that point.
It does.
At that point, then, I think, and see, I'm kind of in agreement with Nick on this. This is a real, this one's one that you just kind of have to wrap your brain around for a second here. Because consider for a moment, the St. Louis Cardinals were the best team in all of Major League Baseball. They're out of here. The Pittsburgh Pirates had the second best record in the NL Central. I think they had the second best record in all of Major League Baseball, if I'm not mistaken. They're out of here. You got the Cubs, and what? They're down to the Mets. I agree with Nick. This is so improbable as to
I don't think it's improbable. And I'm a diehard Cubs fan.
See, you've been saying it for a while, though. You've been saying it since I think the trade deadline. That the best thing the Mets did was acquiring Cespedes.
Absolutely.
I don't know, Nick. Could that have really made that much of a difference?
It did.
It made a difference. It made a difference. I think in them getting to where they are, but I mean, getting to the playoffs. Let's put it that way.
Pitching. Yep. They have great starting pitching.
Well, once the Mets got to the.
I'm sorry, Nick. Say it again.
No, Richard was talking. I thought he was done. I didn't mean to cut him off.
No, they have great starting pitching, and they made an adjustment going into this series to mix up their pitching and give them slower stuff and not throw fastballs, because if they did, the Cubs would probably hit them. Now, tonight, if DeGrom does go fastball, I think the Cubs can hit him. You know, but, you know, if you give them, like, sliders and off-speed, you know, 87 miles an hour pitches and then throw a pitch that's 98
yep.
on the corner, that's hard.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and that's what they're doing. So they're
yep.
keeping this team off balance. And
mm-hmm.
whatever brain trust they have or strategy they made, it's working out.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nick.
I was just going to throw in there, the Cespedes, I think, absolutely was a huge difference in the regular season. I think he is really the only difference you can point to between the Mets being a decent team competing for a crappy division and the team that's going to run away with a crappy division and make a push in the playoffs. But I think once, Mike, I think you made a good point. That's what got them there. I think once they got to the playoffs, a lot of the credit has to be, and this is no knock against the Mets as a team, because this happens every year with every competitive playoff team. There's always that one player that gets hot. If you remember, David Freese won World Series MVP. Where is David Freese now? What is he doing now? I bet 90%
yeah.
of baseball fans couldn't tell me. You know, not to say Daniel Murphy is going to fall off the face of the earth, but Daniel Murphy is that guy. He's the guy that got hot. He's having a phenomenal October.
He certainly got hot.
Tearing it up. Every time he comes to the plate, I cringe. And every time I look up to the TV and the Mets did something good, I see Daniel Murphy rounding the bases. I mean, it's unreal.
It's unreal.
He's having, and he's absolutely the MVP of this team if they continue to progress through the playoffs. And if they win the World Series, he's MVP of this team, World Series MVP. But I think Cespedes is very much so probably the biggest thing you can point to say here's how the Mets got here. But once we got to the playoffs, I think there's nowhere you can look outside of Daniel Murphy because he's having that kind of a postseason. You have to look at Daniel Murphy and say he is single-handedly – put the Mets on his shoulders. He is carrying them on his back, carrying them through the playoffs, and sure, the pitching looks good, and sure, you know, Cespedes is still a good player. They're getting some help elsewhere. Shockingly, Juan Lagares is playing well as well. But Daniel Murphy has carried this team.
He's been great.
Just one player gets hot and carries a team, and that's the thing about baseball. Is the season's so long that 9 times out of 10, the best teams will wind up in the playoffs. You make the playoffs, you're probably the best team. You win the division, you're probably the best team in your division. Once you get to the postseason, it's all about who's hot. The best team doesn't always win the World Series. That's what makes playoffs in any sport so great, is that the best team doesn't always win. Otherwise, there'd be no suspense. The best part is that the hot team wins, and right now the Mets are hot. More so, Daniel Murphy's hot. And if Daniel Murphy can continue even half of the streak that he's on throughout the next, Mike, what'd you say, anywhere between 7 and 15 games, it's going to be difficult to stop the Mets. I think, mm-hmm. Richard, for you, the Cubs, what they got to do is somehow find a way to stop him. Just attack everybody else and stop him. Get to the pitching. Get to the bullpen, like we said. That's goal number one. Goal number two is to not let Daniel Murphy beat you alone.
Yep.
That's a good strategy. They'll try to do that, I'm sure.
Richard, before I let you go, because I know the game will be starting up here momentarily, wanted to get your thoughts. Something I would say would be kind of a no-no comment from Theo Epstein the other day. Did you happen to see this no-no comment? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, Theo Epstein made this comment, and let me ask you if this should be a no-no. Quote, unquote, if we win the World Series, it's going to be a necessity for every team to develop their own core of homegrown position players. That's a no-no, isn't it? I mean, you don't make a statement like that right now, do you? That's a jinx, isn't it?
I think he was, you know, singing his own praises. I mean, that's what the Cubs have done. You can't go bad doing that.
I was a little bit surprised that more Mets fans didn't come out going, "Oh, come on now! Don't be saying anything like that right now. You want to make that comment? Make it after the fact." I just
right.
wanted to. I threw that in there for you, Richard. I wanted to get your thoughts on that one.
Well,
that was what I wanted to do.
I'd like to see the Cubs win at least 2 games here.
Well. I can tell you right now, I know this much. Caleb, unfortunately, was not able to join us for the entire program tonight. So Caleb has gone on to a couple other appointments yet. But I can tell you that for Nick and myself, we're rooting for the Cubs, and we're rooting for your team. We already know Caleb, being the Pittsburgh Pirates fan that he is, he's not rooting for anything National League at this point.
Okay, well.
So, but
the Royals
the best,
are pretty good.
All the best to Cubs this evening, Richard, and we will be tuning in here shortly. All right?
Okay. Take all care.
Right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. All right. Good job there. Appreciate Richard giving us a holler here from New York. Always nice to hear from Richard. And hope the Cubs keep going, because be nice to hear from Richard right through next week's program should the Cubs get into the World Series. You know what? I think it would be all right this evening. You know, we're at about 8 o'clock. We could probably trim this program just a little bit short this evening. Nick, I'd be okay with that one because I'm a little under the weather. Let me get your thoughts. Any final thoughts on anything with regard to the two series that we have going on right now? I like the fact right now, as we just pointed out, that, hey, for anybody to say that the Cubs are out of it, I think is foolish. I think with the Royals right now up 3-1, it's certainly not looking very good for Toronto. But with the Mets and the Cubs, we're only going into game 4. I think there's plenty of time here yet for the Cubs. And I think that the Cubs might actually still pull this one off yet. I don't know. Throw out for me or for anybody out there listening, any final thoughts on either of these two series as we go forward?
Just a couple of final thoughts, actually. As far as the Blue Jays series goes, remember, they faced elimination in the ALDS. They went down 2-0, and they had to win 3 in a row, and they did it in dramatic fashion, so I wouldn't count them out yet. Although I will say I was expecting a little bit of a better series. If you look at the scores, it's ugly. It's 3-1 now in the Royals' favor. Very difficult for the Blue Jays to come back from that, but at least it's not 3-0. A lot more promising than 3-0. So I wouldn't count them out yet. Not looking too great for the Blue Jays. As far as the Mets and the Cubs go, like you said, I wouldn't count the Cubs out yet. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do in Chicago. Really excited to watch tonight's game. Final thought, actually, and this is just this is going to sound negative at first, but it's actually really, really positive. It's very pleasing at how far baseball has come to the point where Daniel Murphy, who has, we were just talking about, has had an outstanding playoff so far. Just absolutely incredibly impressive. Much has been made about him being in his contract year and what's going to happen this offseason. So it's not like this has just gone completely under the radar, but he's represented by the company ACES. It stands for Athletes, Careers, something. One of the top sports agencies in the country. Forbes listed them as the fourth most powerful sports agents in sports, represented by ACES. ACES, when the Biogenesis list came out and all the players associated with Biogenesis, 13 of those 19 players were represented by ACES.
Yep.
Now, very pleasing to hear that a man who's represented by that same agency and has had the postseason he has out of nowhere, there has not been one allegation for steroids, for PEDs, nothing. He's just hot. For the first time in a long time, we can calmly say, yeah, you know what? Maybe he just got better. There is no Jose Bautista, oh, he had 54 home runs, he must be on steroids. Chris Davis, 50 home runs, there must be on steroids. Maybe it's because he's not dropping 50 bombs a game, but he is hitting a lot more home runs than he's used to. He had one of the slowest balls off the bat to go for a home run in the history of StatTrak. Very, very pleasing to me. As much as I hate the Mets, very pleasing and very calming to not hear one allegation that this guy must be on steroids from anyone, must be on PEDs. Like I said, it sounded negative at first, but to me, that's just such a positive feeling that finally we get a breakout player that doesn't have to be associated with performance-enhancing drugs.
Nicely said, Nick. Yeah, you know, overlooked. And nice that you brought light to it, because, I mean, let's get it straight. That's something that, you know, if in fact there was reason to suspect, well, then obviously there would be all kinds of media attention played to it. But because there is no talk of it, well, there's no media attention being played to it. And so that's why I commend you for your comment, because you're pointing out something that, well, nobody's paying attention to, because, look, it's not an issue. Huh? Right? Really? It's not an issue. So, nicely done. Let's hope that it stays not an issue. I'd like to think that
that's... Yeah, we forgot to just say something.
Yeah, I, right, exactly. I mean, it's kind of like Theo Epstein over there, right? Theo Epstein goes to make a comment, and then all of a sudden there'll be some sort of a... All right, anyhow. All right, well, listen, I'm gonna cut this one a little bit short. I want to thank everybody that's been listening in. Apologies if I am cutting it a little bit short, but I've just, past couple of days, I've been a little under the weather here, and so I apologize for that. But many thanks to everybody that's been listening in this evening, and thanks to Nick and to Caleb and to Richard for jumping in here and bringing us up to date on what's happening as we wind down the last final few days of the Major League Baseball season. We've got one final game this evening yet, which will be starting up here momentarily, and that's the Game 3 of the National League Championship Series between the New York Mets. They're out in Chicago to play the Cubs. You want to make sure that you're catching that one. I think you can catch that live. I believe that's over on TBS. So that will be coming up here momentarily, and that's exactly where I'm going to be heading. Be heading over to... my blankie, I think. That's what I'm going to be going to. If Nick S. was with me, he would know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'll be doing that one here shortly. What you want to do is make sure you're here with us tomorrow evening, as Brandon and I will be bringing you our weekly NFL wrap on our Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz program. We'll be taking a look at what took place this past weekend in week 6 of the NFL season. My God, it's going by too quickly, way too fast, as we're heading into week 7, already beginning on Thursday night. But you want to be here tomorrow night, as we'll be taking a look at some of the, some of the surprise games that came out of this past weekend. You can catch that one live right here at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday night, then we will be back here live with you for our two-hour flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. I believe we're coming into number 215. Holy smokes, I think that's what it'll be, 215 coming to you, 7 p.m. Eastern time live right here on Thursday evening, the Frat House Sports Show. And then Friday night, 8 p.m. live, Nick Swartz, myself, and Caleb will be back here with you to bring our Frat House Sports' Fantasy Friday program. All right, there you go. There's our lineup for what's coming up in the next couple of days. Hopefully I'll be here for all of them. in the meantime, listen, we only have, as I pointed out, it could be as few as 7. It could be as many as 15 games remaining in the Major League Baseball season. Bottom line, it ain't too many. So do yourself a favor. Get out there and enjoy what's left of baseball.